This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. Good afternoon. I'm Chris Nolte. On this pre-election day program, we feature both candidates in two of the races on tomorrow's Lake County general election ballot. We hear first from the candidates from Indiana House District 15, Republican incumbent Hal Slager and Democrat challenger Chris Cheung. Both were in the studio for that conversation. And then we have the candidates for Lake County Council District 7 seat in alphabetical order and in separate interviews, Republican Christian Jorgensen and Democrat Phil Kuiper. It's the seat that is now currently being held by Councilman Eldon Strong. Those conversations and more coming up. This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. We go into this pre-election day program with a note. Of course, early voting here in Northwest Indiana officially ended at noon. But if you happen to be someplace where they're doing early voting still, if you're still in line, you can still vote. House District 15 includes two candidates on the ballot for tomorrow's election, incumbent Republican Hal Slager and his Democratic Party challenger, Chris Cheung, and we had both of them in the studio to talk. So let's go alphabetical order here. We'll start with C here. Chris, if you will, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're interested in running for this particular seat in the election.
Absolutely. So I was born and raised in the region. I was born in Merrillville and then went to Munster High School. And right now I live in Dyer. So I was really looking for a way to give back to my community. I saw so many of my friends after graduating leave the region after they graduated. And they haven't come back to, you know, raise families or buy homes or start businesses here. And I thought, you know, why is that? What kind of leadership do we have in Indiana that's driving away all these young people, and what kinds of things can we do to make sure that my peers, the most talented people in my class, can stay here and make a great life here? So I saw things at the state level that we definitely could do to incentivize those young people to stay in and make their homes in Indiana.
Hal Slager, tell us about yourself and your interest in running for re-election.
Sure. Well, I've been a business owner. I've had multiple businesses since 1983. I was on the Schererville Town Council for 10 years prior to this. I was the president of the council when we went through the Great Recession and we had to make dramatic cuts to the budget, which set us up for success on the recovery. I was also president of the utility board when we resolved multiple drainage problems that we were having throughout town. I then ran for the legislature. Been in for 6 years there, and I still have four or five agenda items that I would like to make sure continue on.
Did you find that there was the first time that you ran, there was a great change, a great difference from being a Schererville Town leader as opposed to being a state representative?
Oh, well, of course. But it's interesting. Many of the calls I get from constituents, whether it was on the council or the legislature, often have to do with agencies or departments not doing their jobs. So in that case, it's usually just a couple more zeros on the end.
What would you say, first I'll pose a question to you, Hal, and then I'll pose a question to you, Chris. You've mentioned some of them in your opening remarks here, but not all. What would you say has or has not changed in House District 15 since the last election? Hal?
Well, what's changed dramatically, of course, is the extension of or the double tracking and the extension of the rail to Dyer. Chris makes a point about attracting young people to stay in the area, and it's absolutely a valid point. And that was the purpose of trying to provide some mass transit to make commuting easier, to make the downtown easier. And those that might have said, gee, you're trying to export people, actually it's the other way around. We're importing people from Illinois who are working in Illinois and encouraging them to live in Indiana.
Okay. Chris, what would you say that you've seen here in the time that you've had a chance to look over the district and living here, and what prompted you, I guess, in turn to decide to run for public office?
Absolutely. So what I see is not enough progress being made in terms of attracting those young people back. For one, you know, I graduated from college in 2016, so I'm very familiar with the student debt burden and the fact that this is a ballooning crisis in America. And one thing that I think we could do at the state level is to incentivize some of the funds that are used for the 21st Century Scholars Program, that tuition state relief in terms of tuition could be used to have more people stay after they graduate. So what New York does with their equivalent program is that they, for every year that you receive that scholarship money, you have to stay in the state after you graduate. And I think that's a fantastic idea. That's something that Indiana should definitely be implementing so that people like me who are getting crushed under the college debt burden and who have to, move back in with my parents in order to make ends meet can get that, that tuition relief for sure. And I'm starting my own business as well. So I know the ins and outs of trying to hire the right people and get the right contractors and be compliant with all the financial and governmental reports. And that's something that even small business development wise, the state could be doing a lot more with, I think.
Gentlemen, what do you see is different about this election compared to past elections? Hal?
Well, of course, there's an awful lot of noise from the national level. And what we're seeing is tremendous progress in Indiana as far as people being employed. I don't generally talk about unemployment. I talk about employment. And we've got businesses already looking for Christmas help because they can't find enough people, wages going up. By and large, the middle class and the union folks in particular are very pleased with the fact that they're fully employed, they're making overtime. Things are good. So what I have noticed more than anything in Northwest Indiana, generally considered an area of hot political debate, where on a national level we tend to be very divided, in Northwest Indiana we seem to be getting along and getting more things done than I've seen in prior years.
Chris, do you think that's your view too?
So one thing that I would push back on is that wages are going up. In fact, wages are really stagnating over a multi-decade period. In not only the state of Indiana, our wages have grown about 0.1%, whereas our neighbors in Kentucky during the same time have grown over 4% in that same time. So wage stagnation is very real. As a young person entering the workforce, I have seen this firsthand. And I would dispute also that the unions are happy with all that they're being treated with. We saw an earlier economic report from in the year state that how the repeal of the prevailing wage, the common construction wage in the state, was really horrible for a lot of middle-income families trying to make ends meet, and the outcome was actually worse at the end. So for a lot of people at the top, I would say, yeah, their stock portfolio, their 401ks are doing really well, and for the people who are fortunate enough to have investment portfolios, that is the case. But in terms of wage stagnation and the cost of everything else, including healthcare and housing and student and higher education, those costs going up, I would say we are not on the right track overall.
What are your views on public education and, in particular, helping out as a member of the Indiana House of Representatives? Chris, let's ask you first. You're the one that is seeking the seat here. What are your views here on education and as far as the public education sector is concerned?
Absolutely. That's one of the main reasons I decided to run, actually. So I am endorsed by both teachers groups in the state of Indiana, the American Federation of Teachers and the Indiana State Teachers Association. And I think one of the reasons that when I was sitting down with these groups to talk about some of the issues in this state, as a product of the public schools myself, I had to come up with a plan to make sure that not only were they accountable and staying within budget, but able to provide Hoosier children a future and that opportunity. So I could not conscionably deny a Hoosier kid the opportunity to get ahead in a public school. And public education, especially keeping our tax dollars in our district, is something that is very central to the core of my campaign.
Now, House Leaguer, I know that in your work here in recent sessions with the General Assembly, you've had issues of public education, in particular issues of public education in the city of Gary, come up here. What are your views as what you've seen so far in your term of office and in turn what your representative status is in helping out?
Well, the biggest problem we have in the district, and District 15 is generally, for all intents and purposes, the Lake Central School Corporation District. And like so many other high-performing school corporations like Lake Central, they tend to get the lowest amount of reimbursement because we don't have as much low income as you might find in the urban areas. Mm-hmm. The urban schools tend to get significantly more, although since I've been there 4 years ago, in my work on Ways and Means Committee, we narrowed that need component so that a higher portion of the money is in the base, which helps schools like high-performing schools like Lake Central. So without a doubt, where we have good-performing schools, we're still under what we should be. But it just goes to show you throwing more money at it is not necessarily the solution.
We're talking with State Representative Hal Slager. He's a Republican. He's running for re-election in this election coming up here, and his Democratic Party challenger, Chris Cheung. You mentioned a little bit before about economic development in a way, and Hal, you alluded to that in talking about the efforts on the South Shore Line to expand and make the changes there. Let's talk about your views on economic development here in Northwest Indiana in general, and what you have done and what you would like to do if you're reelected at the State House to be able to strengthen the business opportunities and the job opportunities.
Sure. Well, in the last 4 years, of course, I've been involved with that rail expansion, and that has resulted in $360 million in commitment from the state, not to mention what all comes in from IEDC and various cases, such as the data center that has just recently broken ground in Hammond. There was a $9 million commitment from IEDC. Those are extra dollars. We also this past year got approved $40 million for the biosciences building at Purdue Northwest in Hammond. That's going to dramatically change that campus and have a tremendous economic benefit for the whole region. Those are things that we've done in the past. Going forward, one of the issues I'm working on has to do with pediatric care. We have some of the greatest pediatric hospitals, unfortunately, across the border in Illinois, but not in Indiana. And since about half of our children are on Medicaid, a number that's hard to believe, but it is, they're having some access problems with Indiana Medicaid reimbursement that we've been working on. And if we can resolve those, and we're getting closer to doing that and identifying where the problem is, we can largely expect to see more services being performed with those out-of-state hospitals in partnership with our Indiana health systems and make that pediatric care much closer to home and bring economic development to the region.
Well, Chris Cheung, you've mentioned a little bit here about your views on economic development. What else would you like to see happen here in Northwest Indiana to make the improvements and in turn not only improvements in the business end, but also in the job creation end?
Absolutely. This is a really great question because I feel like too often when we talk about our elected officials, we don't really look at how Northwest Indiana should be functioning as a united front, as one region with all town, county, local, and state level officials working together with the federal government to make sure that we can have a unified vision going forward. And one thing that, besides the education aspect of skilling up the workforce that I've been alluding to in my previous answers, I really think that there is a daunting skills gap in this state where we have a lot of unfilled jobs because we've cut so much of the education funding away from skilling up the right people in order to meet that the demands of the modern day workforce, as well as the attacks on unions and organized labor. I think another thing that goes hand in hand is infrastructure. You know, I've heard too often that people are getting stuck in traffic, that we have so many potholes in our roads that are hurting people to and from work and causing their auto insurance premiums to go up, and as well as their auto repair costs to go up. Those things are just common sense things that I think people in my town of Dyer especially have a lot of problems with. So we're hoping that we can not only make a fair road funding formula so that we can make sure that people can get to and from their jobs, but also skilling up those people in terms of economic development, because it's not tax incentives alone. We really have to talk about the fact that people are not matched up to the modern day workforce, and how do we get them there as soon as we can.
Let's. You've mentioned this here just now about the infrastructure. In fact, the next question I was going to ask you both, and Hal, you know, because of what your work in the legislature has done here, we have now an increase in the gasoline tax in Indiana to help cover the costs of doing the repairs to roads and bridges around the state, including Northwest Indiana. What's your feeling here about what's to be done, if more needs to be done, and what more is likely to come from Indianapolis if you get reelected?
Well, I don't think we're going to see much change in what needs to be done over the next couple of years. I think from a utility standpoint, we have to look at the impact that we're going to have with taking down coal-fired plants and the majority of cars becoming some level of hybrid and electric, how we're going to handle that. I think the tax increase on fuel is relatively short term, because revenues will drop and we're going to have to figure out how to deal with that. But that's not going to happen immediately. So in the years to come, we need to be planning for that.
We have more questions to ask of both the state representative Hal Slager and his Democratic Party challenger Chris Chung. To continue on, we've asked questions here about economic development and about how Northwest Indiana is dealing with the infrastructure issues. I'd like to know from both of you, and I'll approach you, Hal, first, because you're the incumbent here. What has been done and what needs to be done in Indianapolis to make sure that all Northwest Indiana governments get a more fair share of the tax dollars that end up leaving the region and going to Indianapolis?
Well, one of the things that we've done in the last few years since I've been involved is to discontinue the policy of expecting something from Indianapolis. What we've done going forward is providing a reasonable return on investment for the people of Indiana to make investments up here. And we've seen a tremendous increase in those kinds of investments, as I've already talked about.
Chris Chung, what are your thoughts about this, if you're having a chance to go to Indianapolis to serve as a representative?
Absolutely. This is one thing that I've talked to a lot of constituents about. They were concerned that we really don't get our fair share, and we are like the California of Indiana, basically. Lake County sends so much of our tax base down to Indianapolis, and we don't feel like we're getting a lot back in terms of infrastructure investments. And the potholes that we were just talking about is a bread and butter issue that I think a lot of people relate to. This is something that should have been fixed by now, and a lot of people are not only fed up with that, but they are fed up with the gas tax, as well as the new road, the new wheel taxes that are imposed in a few select towns, and they feel like they are not seeing their dollars go into their own backyards. I mean, I was canvassing in Northgate the other day in Dyer, and the size of the potholes you see are almost as big as cars, and at that point, it's unacceptable for us to be able to justify sending so much of our money outside of our own district.
Can I respond to that?
Certainly, yes.
Part of the bill has already directed over $400 million to locals, and those roads in Northgate that Chris referred to, those are local road maintenance dollars that are coming back because of the changes that we've made. So they should absolutely see improvement there. I tell people all the time, the good news is there's money for road construction. The bad news is we've got road construction all over, and everybody knows that. It's hard to move around.
Yes, we notice that right now, as a matter of fact, with the traffic jams that happen. What are your thoughts, gentlemen, on dealing with the regions and, for that matter, the rest of the state's narcotic drug problem, and what do you feel ought to be done? Hal, if you'll start, please.
Well, unfortunately, the heroin problem is a result of the opioid problem, and many issues have been pieces of legislation have been enacted to try to deal with that, limiting the amount of prescription, how many pills can be prescribed. Prior to that, we were dealing with meth cooking. And as we crack down on these, it's unfortunate, but the heroin is the next cheapest drug of choice. Somehow we have to continue to work on dealing with the demand, because trying to interdict the supply doesn't seem to be working.
Chris Chung, what are your thoughts?
So I think that definitely needle exchanges are a viable option for this problem in our state. We have seen data, research from other states, that show for every dollar that you invest in a needle exchange, it'll bring back about 7 times worth of that investment to combat hepatitis as well as HIV and to get rid of the scourge of heroin and meth in our state. We know that statistics show that Indiana is one of the worst states for meth abuse in the country. And for this to have happened is not only doing a disservice to kids out there who are getting taken away because their parents are addicted to drug abuse. I believe we're number 10 or something in terms of parents taken away for children taken away for parental drug abuse. So that's something that I think is a really viable solution. So I would disagree that there's somehow something that needs that there's a really vague answer. I think there's a really clear answer that is a medically proven and scientifically proven to be correct.
Well, Chris, we did pass a bill to allow counties to add needle exchange programs if they desired. It's not limited by state authority. And so that has already been done. I voted for that in my work in health committee because ultimately if we don't solve that problem, we're gonna pay for hepatitis and AIDS because of bad needles through our Medicaid. So it's much less costly to pay for needle exchange, and I do support that.
Gentlemen, our time is left here. We'd like to have at least some closing thoughts here. Chris, if you will, your closing thoughts here as the election comes up.
Absolutely. So I would like to respond really quickly to that. The needle exchanges, I do know that there is a law on the books, but I would really like to see more incentives for a county like Lake County to implement that at our level. And I would have liked to see that solution sooner, to be quite frank. And, you know, I think, Chris, the question you hit on earlier about making sure that Northwest Indiana has representation down in Indianapolis. One other thing I didn't mention was that the governor decided to exempt the 465 donut around Indianapolis for tolls while potentially putting more tolls on our interstates up here. So I think it's just another symptom of the fact that our representation, I don't feel, is currently putting Northwest Indiana's interests first when they go down there in Indianapolis. And quite frankly, it's on the Democrat and Republican sides, to be really frank. We've got to get new representation in there to fight for your interests and make sure that they're accessible and transparent. And I hope that no matter what party you're a part of, I hope that you all go out and early vote, because early voting is open right now.
Well, Hal Slager, you have the final words here in the about 4 or 5 minutes we have left.
Sure. Once again, just so everybody knows, tolling cannot take place within 75 miles of existing tolls. Mm-hmm. So that takes care of the bridge on the south end of the state as well as our toll that we have up here. So it does limit it to central Indiana. Going forward, I have a number of agenda items that I'd like to see move forward, particularly an energy policy moving forward. In Indiana, I am greatly concerned about the fact that we're shutting down all coal-fired plants, which from an environmental standpoint is all well and good, but it's all being outsourced out of state, and I think that's a concern. We have the issues with DCS and making sure that the realignment of that department is handled properly. We need to make sure our schools are hardened. I mentioned the pediatric care already. We have issues with municipalities that are in financial distress and how we're going to handle that. We sure don't want to wait like we did with the Gary School Corporation until we're $100 million underwater. And then mental illness is another issue. I passed crisis intervention team legislation that I want to see moving forward in Lake County. That does not require more legislation, but something that I want to champion.
This is Regionally Speaking's pre-election day program. I'm Chris Nolte, and are continuing our conversations with candidates on the November 7th ballot in Lake County in County Council District 7. The candidates are Republican Christian Jorgensen and Democrat Phil Kuiper. Christian Jorgensen is with us. Thanks for being with us today on Regionally Speaking, sir.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, take a moment, if you will, briefly tell us about yourself and why you're running in this year's election.
Well, I've been in the region now since 1994. I'm currently the president of the St. John Town Council. I'm an attorney by trade, been practicing for over 20 years in Illinois and Indiana. been involved in politics for at least a decade or so. And really what I look at here is an issue with South County is the level of expansion and development that we have. It's very, very similar to what we experienced here in St. John over the past couple of years. It was just such rapid growth that we experienced growing pains. Previous councils certainly didn't prepare enough for the infrastructure needs and other issues that we have. And that same process is happening on a much larger scale all over South County. You mentioned the primary cities that encompass my district. Mm-hmm. It's 330 square miles approximately. But if you look at Cedar Lake, you look at St. John, you look at Lowell, and you see some major developmental issues on the horizon all around those towns. And of course, a lot of unincorporated Lake County is in South County, my district. So that poses particular problems for the municipalities as well as the county. And the development issue is going to be the major issue over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 terms.
Do you see that there has been this change happening, certainly in this election compared to last elections?
Well, I mean, there are changes. There's certainly a big move to come to the polls for this particular election, which is unique for a midterm. Normally, they're not as well voted in as nationals. So that's an interesting issue. We've had a few things happen, of course, on the national scale that motivates people. We have the Kavanaugh issue. We have a big Senate race right now. So I believe both those issues are motivating people, and that's going to change the outcome of this election somewhat, or at least that's my prediction.
Take a look, if you will, here at some of the local issues, which I know that you're going to be most concerned about, in not only in the election, but also if you're elected to the county council. What are your thoughts, first off, here about the 2019 county budget, especially in having to deal with expenses that are facing with the sheriff's department, the Lake County Jail, and actually the other physical facilities, so to speak, that the county owns?
Well, I have some issues with the budget, of course, but I have to praise quite a few folks for streamlining spending rather than expanding it. I know there was a lot of press coverage with regard to the raising of salaries for county employees, but people have to realize as well that many of these salaries were way below the poverty line, and that the increases in many cases don't even bring folks to back up above the poverty line. There was great pains made, I know, from the commissioners. I work very well with Commissioner Tippy. We've been friends for a very long time. He's an innovative fellow. That there was plenty of consolidation going on with regard to departments and how we're going to actually consolidate staff and other folks so as to eliminate the number of employees that we actually have. One of my issues with county government is attracting and maintaining qualified folks in governmental jobs. It's very, very difficult to do when there's not a lot of money to go around. We lose people to the private sector all the time. How do we go ahead and attract folks, fresh out of college with advanced degrees in these kinds of positions? And you have to be somewhat innovative to do so. You have to look at whether or not offering maternity paternity leave is a good alternative to increasing salaries. In a lot of cases, this came up. I'm just giving you an example of what came up last term as being an innovative way to attract qualified people to county government, and that's one of them. I mean, you don't always have the money to spend on salaries, which normally nobody ever wants to decrease, but being experimental and proactive, just like Governor Holcomb was with the state in offering leave to both males, fathers and mothers, was a way of attracting qualified folks, usually younger folks out of college who are interested in creating families. It was a great idea. And that's one of the things that we need to continue to look at as we approve budgets. But as far as the current budget goes, there is money being accumulated from the personal income tax in the county. And that issue has got to be dealt with at some point. Right now it's unallocated. It would have to be allocated, but I find it difficult to continue to tax the folks in South County and accumulate what, I mean, for lack of a better term, is a surplus without offering some relief as well.
What are your views on the Lake County road and bridge conditions? And I know you've also expressed your concern in overall about Lake County's infrastructure. How about the need for improvements, and how do you feel they should be paid for? And I know you focus primarily in this case on South Lake County.
Well, it is. I mean, South Lake County is a unique problem. Not so much with bridges, that's a North County issue, but in roads. We still have gravel roads in South County. I would imagine a lot of your listeners perhaps are surprised at that, but it's actually true. There's plenty of gravel roads still there in South County, and the infrastructure is the number one issue that we have as far as allocating resources. And again, I have to bring up Commissioner Tippy as well. He's done a great job. That's his territory as well in trying to target some of these roads. And not enough has been financed by the council, in my opinion, as far as South County. We lag behind in our infrastructure. We're probably worse than any other portion of the county when it comes to the county area, not municipalities, right? So it's a major issue. And again, when you have an area as large as South County, my district, District 7, being 300 and, you know, some square miles, and having crumbling roads and gravel roads, you have an issue. So there needs to be an allocation specific to South County with regard to that infrastructure. And that'd be something that I'd be looking at doing.
We're talking with Christian Jorgensen. He's the Republican Party candidate for Lake County Council, District 7. That's a seat that is currently being held by a Republican, Eldon Strong. And Eldon lost out in the primary election to run for re-election. So Christian Jorgensen is able to take the position up against Phil Kiper in the November 6th election. We're talking about funding and how money is allocated. I know Lake County has been asked here by letter from one of the lawmakers in Indianapolis to redistribute its share of the local option income tax revenues. What are your thoughts about that, and what would you do if you're elected to the county council?
Well, I mean that's going to depend greatly on how that allocation of the $2 million and again surplus is going to occur. It has to be addressed. We can't continue to accumulate revenue, which a lot of folks will be motivated to spend without providing relief to the taxpayer. And when it comes to South County, you look at, we were paying a fairly large portion in ways of property tax and personal income tax for the entire county. So what I would look at doing, again, is how are we going to allocate that surplus going forward, because it's projected to continue, and how are we going to go ahead and provide some relief to the taxpayers who are actually doing that, and that's really what it's all about. I don't believe that there's been a discussion yet, not a serious discussion amongst the council people, with regard to how that's going to proceed forward, and that would be top of my list.
And we know this is more of a general issue rather than a specific one to South Lake County, but I'm sure that the problem exists in South Lake County. And we're talking about not only Lake County's, but the region's entire narcotic drug problem. What are your thoughts in trying to deal with it? And what do you feel, as if you're elected to the county council, that you can do?
Well, again, we're the financial engine for the county. We're also the legislative body, but our hands are somewhat tied as to what we can do other than to offer funding for the initiatives that are required and that are progressing forward. I know Sheriff Martinez has been instrumental in doing some of that. And I mean, I'm certainly for being proactive in treating this epidemic. It reaches into South County just as it reaches into North County. And we're fully aware of that. So, I mean, that's something that's continued to be funded, as far as I'm concerned.
I know this has to sit in the back of your mind, being a candidate for a county council. And if you're elected, you'll, of course, be one of the new members, as opposed to joining just as an experienced staffer, so to speak, for the county council. What do you think you feel you can do as a new member of the county council if you're elected in November?
As a new member, I bring new ideas and a fresh look at South County problems. South County problems, again, being the same as St. John, except on a larger level and with a much larger landscape. We also have the issue of how to look at and deal with a rapidly changing South County. One, you know, that most people, when they're polled for the comprehensive plan, still want to maintain as a bucolic community. Again, we do have issues with farms closing and property changing hands. That's going to be the number one issue for South County as far as developing and maintaining that comprehensive plan of growth, because you have to balance the desires of the residents there to maintain this rural bucolic kind of community, and also with the development that's certain to come and is coming. And you can go look at Cedar Lake and Lowell and where else. That balance and orchestrating that balance is exactly what it is that has to be focused on. And I think I'm particularly qualified to do that.
Now, I have one last question. We only have maybe about a minute or so left here, Mr. Jorgensen. And I know that you've mentioned in some other conversations that you sense, I guess, what you'd called a subtle shift in voting in Lake County, shifting from a Democrat, where the predominant party in power, over to Republican. Is that still your feeling? And are you talking with people that see that shift too?
Absolutely, I do. Absolutely, I do. It's with every region area of the region that we've polled and we've experienced with, there definitely is a shift to the Republican Party. That's certainly the case in South County. I don't think anybody necessarily disagrees with that and hasn't for some time. But the population shift is to South County, St. John, and all the way east and south. So as that population shift increases, and so does the population of South County, from the majority of those folks coming in appear to be Republican-minded. And I think we're going to be seeing a continuing shift in the years to come to the Republican Party. So, yeah, I agree. I still stand by that statement.
Well, Mr. Jorgensen, thank you very much for spending time with us today to talk about yourself, about the candidacy, and about the issues that you face as a candidate for Lake County Council.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me on, and hope everybody gets out there and votes, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Christian Jorgensen is a Republican Party candidate for Lake County Council in District 7, which is South Lake County predominantly, and he faces Democrat challenger Phil Kiper in the November 6th election. One of the candidates on the November 6th ballot here in Lake County is for Lake County Council in District 7, the Democratic Party candidate, Phil Kiper. Phil, thank you for joining us on Regionally Speaking today.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Well, first, if you will, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running in this election.
Well, I've been a Lowell resident for all my life, 56 years. Then I was on the town council for 12 years, enjoyed all that incredibly. It was a lot of fun, knew most of the people, and it was, you know, there were just a lot of rewards with coming in a town that you grew up in, and then you were able to sit on their town council. But why I'm running? Well, I thought I was done, and my wife and I were very happy. It was very quiet, and our kids are grown. I've got a son in the he's a captain in the Marines, and I got a daughter that's an elementary teacher, and so we had been doing a little traveling, and I got a phone call after the primary, and from our chairman telling me he wanted to know if I would be interested. And I said, nah, I don't think so. I said, things are really good. And he said, well, hear me out. So he explained what was going on and what he thought. And so I called a few folks that you know, I've trusted through the years, and they agreed with that. So they caucused me in, and here we are. I really seems like a lot of catch up for me. It seems I'm late in the game, and but we're doing what we can, and it's been a lot of fun getting the juices flowing again, and getting to the doors and sticking signs and all that good stuff. So that's why we're there. But probably the biggest reason for me to decide to run was the South County aspect. You know, I love South County. Never been interested in running countywide. It's always been, you know, the South. There's only been really two jobs I've interested in, this one and possibly the commissioner. And I give them both up until this happened. So I love the South County people. I feel like we are we're different people than North County, and I think we speak a different language. And that's, to me, that's an advantage for me over my opponent. So that's why I'm here.
What, in your opinion, you feel is different about this election compared to past elections? I just wanted to see what your sense of what you feel might be different this time around from what 4 years ago.
Well, one thing that's definitely different, anybody that has paid much attention, especially Crown Point, Cedar Lake, and Lowell, I mean, there's definitely been a boom going on. Crown Point, I think everyone's seen it. And Cedar Lake and Lowell, there's houses been going up like crazy. So there's definitely, you know, not only folks migrating from the north, but there's, I would say, more so people migrating from Illinois coming across and probably getting away from real estate taxes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I guess maybe that might be a difference from 4 years ago, because I know Crown Point was rolling pretty good 4 years ago too, and Cedar Lake and Lowell is, I don't know if you call it catching up, but they're, you know, it's just a downward roll in South County.
Yeah. I know that obviously be on the council, you're going to be involved in the serious matters of finances for Lake County government. And what are your thoughts about the 2019 county budget right now as it stands at about $209 million? And how do you feel about it, especially in having to deal with expenses at the county jail and other facilities within the county?
I think that's a tough job, and I think we all know, council after council, it's always been a tough job. But I think it's something you got to dig into, and you have to look at every aspect. I mean, not only staffing, but I mean you have to look at everything, the whole picture, and each department, each and every department. From what I understand, and I might be wrong, but I've been told that, you know, they are their budget. They have a balanced budget. This council did, and I was told they were in the black, and I would say that's a good thing. Now, I haven't seen those figures on paper, but so I would certainly think that at least they're in the right direction. But I know it's a tough thing. I think everyone in Lake County that's paid attention knows that the jail has been a very, very tough economical situation for the county. But I just think it's something you just got to keep digging in, and you got to keep working at.
What are your views on Lake County's road and bridge situation, and in particular trying to help make improvements and in turn also how those improvements ought to be paid for?
Oh, I think that's something you got to work really hard, and you got to go down, you got to get downstate, and you got to Pete Viskoski, you got to get a hold of Pete Viskoski, and you got to work every avenue there. We did that on a lot lower scale in Lowell. We didn't raise the taxes to do so, you know. You got to be creative, and I'm very, very fiscally conservative, and I think you got to be creative. And one thing for sure is not put the burden on the taxpayers. I'm not a big fan of that, and I tell everyone the reason I don't want to do that. I don't want to raise fees. I don't want to raise taxes, because I'm one of those people too that I got to pay it also. So I mean, I think you got to look at that.
I know that there has been efforts made by one lawmaker lately to ask the council to redistribute its share of the local option income tax revenues, that what they get from primarily from Indianapolis. What are your thoughts on this, and what would you do in dealing with this if you were elected to the council?
First, I would dig in exactly and see what the council has done and what changes they made maybe from the past. And has that been good changes? As far as relocating those, is that what you were saying?
Oh, just making sure that the funds are more distributed, apparently, around the county. And I'm not sure if it's in reference to concerns about maybe too much money in some areas and not enough in others.
Well, that's something you definitely got to look at, and I'll be the first one to say, you know, I'm gonna be like anybody. I'm gonna be hoping that I can get as much funds as I can for South County. So, I mean, you know, that's who I do represent, and that's who I want to represent in the future. So I'm always going to be looking at more funds for the South County, and not raising fees and not raising taxes, or not raising salaries either.
One of the other things that has come up recently here, and this is in part because of what White Lodging is planning to do with reestablishing their business in the lot, the 40 acres that they basically have at U.S. 30 and I-65 to create the $300 million plus multi-use, what they've called, a transformational project there, and taking over in the space where the Radisson Hotel used to be, where the Star Plaza Theater used to be, and where the Twin Tower office complex used to be. I know that part of what White Lodging has been talking with officials in Merivale and others about as well in establishing a public-private partnership. And for the public part of that, the town of Merivale is going to do what it can to reallocate its tax increment financing revenues that it gets. And also has been brought up is, again, the topic of establishing a countywide food and beverage tax. How do you feel about that, if it's going to go to help support the projects that the White Lodging and others would like to set up there?
Well, I'll be real clear with you, Chris. I am not an advocate at all right now of raising taxes or creating new fees for our taxpayers right now. It's I just don't think it's a good time. We've seen the economy start changing a little bit, and people seem to be getting a little relief. And so I don't think this is time to be putting our hands in their pocket and getting their money out. I think the public-private, I think that's on every community, what they choose to do there. Just not a big fan of new taxes and new fees.
One idea that has also been mentioned, and it's been brought up as well, too, that has been looked into, and the county council has done that in the past here, is trying to find a successor for the Lake County Convention Center, which actually was part of the White Lodging complex before it had been used in the Radisson and other facilities.
Right.
And now that there's been talk, of course, about the feasibility of creating its own Lake County Convention Center, what are your thoughts about that?
I'd be very supportive in that. Again, I'd need to know where that funding's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's going to be the food and beverage tax to fund that, I'm not in support of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go out and get your private money and do what you can there. But, you know, no burden on – I'm not looking to put any burden on the taxpayers.
Phil, in working in the past, as you have with the Lowell Town Council and other organizations, what are your thoughts about if you become a new member of the Lake County Council? What do you feel about how you're going to be able to work with others on the council and the more experienced members of the Common Council, to be sure?
Well, I don't think that's a problem, because I think I'd be willing to bet every member up there already knows that I'm a South County guy. And I don't have any trouble getting along with anybody on any council I've been in, but I'm going to fight for South County, and I don't mind ruffling a few feathers while I'm doing that. So, you know, and that's something that's important to me. It's a big area. South County is a big area, maybe less population than other places, but we're a big area, and we're really proud down here. I know there's been people calling me, asking me what's the deal on the signs that saying they're going to bring integrity back to South County.
Uh-huh.
No one really understands what that's supposed to mean. We know integrity starts at home, and I hope my opponent understands that, because they read the paper too. So integrity starts at home. So, you know, you can't bring something to that area that you don't have. So, I mean, that's just really important. Really important word there.
One thing I'd like to bring up in our conversation earlier, Kristen Jorgensen mentioned that he has talked with others in the county, and he says that that he's talked to seems to have noticed a subtle shift in voting in South Lake County from Democratic to Republican. Do you feel that there's a need to try and maintain a Democratic majority on the council, even though we know you're not focusing on party politics right now?
No, and I, when they came calling for me, it's not something I was been looking to do. I hadn't even been paying attention. I did see that there was a close vote in the primary, and read on that. But you know, you got to understand, I grew up in Lowell, and if anybody knows much about Lowell, that was very, very Republican, and there's still a large Republican base down here. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much that's changed with folks moving in. I'm sure it has. There has been some change. Do I think it's that important that on the Democratic side? Well, I'm going to say at this point, yes, because I'm the Democratic candidate. So I think, to me, it is important because I feel I should be the one that's representing South County.
Well, Phil, you know, you've probably done well to answer my last question, but I'll give it a shot anyway. What are some closing thoughts you might have on the race for Lake County Council as we approach the election coming up?
Well, again, I think it's important. It's a, you know, it's a position to represent South County, and who better can represent South County from someone who was born and raised in South County. And as far as this race goes, there's only one candidate that can say that, and you're talking to him right now. So that's important to me. I don't think we need a high-dollar big city attorney coming down and trying to raise taxes and raise fees on our folks down here. That's not what we're all about, and that's just not what we're interested in. So that's kind of where I'm at. I just want to represent my folks.
Well, Phil, thank you very much for spending time with us and talking about yourself, about the issues, and about the job of county council. And we hope to have a chance to chat with you again soon.
Thanks, Chris.
Phil Kiper is the Democratic Party candidate for Lake County Council, District 7, and filling the seat that is currently held now by Councilman Eldon Strong. This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Join us for live election night coverage on Tuesday, November 6th, as Chris Nolte and a team of panelists discuss the numbers, what happened, and what's next. It's election night coverage here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Indiana's early voting turnout this year is well ahead of the last two midterm elections. And going into the final day of in-person early voting that ended at noon, absentee ballots were starting to approach even 2016's numbers, which were the highest in Indiana state history. Midterm elections typically see lower overall turnout from the voters, and in 2014, the last midterm, Indiana had the lowest turnout in the country, in large part because the highest elected office on the ballot was Secretary of State. This year, with a crucial U.S. Senate race, Indiana's early voting turnout is more than double 2014's. It's also nearly double the 2010 absentee ballots, an Indiana midterm election that had a major Senate race. Through the weekend, early voters were just about a quarter off of 2016's early voting turnout, a much higher turnout election overall than this year will likely see. And it's important to note that over the last decade, both election officials and political campaigns have placed greater emphasis on people voting early. Former President Barack Obama visited the Genesis Center in Gary yesterday to campaign for Senator Joe Donnelly. And Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith was on hand and has this report.
Former President Obama told the crowd of about 7,000 that America is at a crossroads.
The health care of millions is on the ballot. Perhaps most importantly, the character of our country is on the ballot.
Obama says he respects Joe Donnelly, even if they didn't always agree.
He always was focused on what's the best thing for the Hoosiers that he served, and he was honest, and he was direct.
Like Obama, Donnelly urged Hoosiers to vote in what he calls a very close election.
And every vote counts. Your vote is your voice.
Election day is Tuesday. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith in Gary.
That's it for Regionally Speaking for this pre-election day program. We have a special election day program for you tomorrow here, and we'll be back with you tomorrow evening as well as through morning edition in the morning to bring you up to date on the numbers and all in special analysis from our commentators coming in the studio. That's on election night here on Lakeshore Public Radio. Hope you can join us.